to the broadcast with Amanda Shandy and Colleen. My name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
Welcome to the show, everybody. This is season 5, episode 22, episode number 202. We have said my name already. This is the second week in a row that I've done this. I almost said 502, so that's where I am. It just feels like in this year we've done 300 extra episodes.
Well, because there's been 300 extra days in this year, so that tracks. That all tracks.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, somebody was pointing out that we are 3 months away from March, but yeah, we're also kind of still in March.
Yes. It's kind of crazy when you think about, like, we have, like, just stated a full, like, quarantine life here.
Yep.
Like, somebody that got knocked up the day the lockdown started is having their baby right now. So just perspective.
Right now.
Like, this second.
Good luck, sister.
With a mask, of course.
Yeah, masked up, I hope.
Home births are through the roof this year. Actually, I don't know the statistics for that, but I would imagine that they probably are. Anyway.
Someone must know the statistics. I would be curious.
I would be curious as well, but not curious enough to stop and look it up. So.
Yeah. Afterward, when we're done.
Anyway. Yes. So how's it going? You know, as Matt pointed out in the Facebook group last week, he said that we're in the D, guys. We're in the D of Jason's D.
I suppose we are.
It's the happiest D of the year. Oh, these D jokes are going to be all night. Oh, speaking of D jokes, so for Christmas this year, you know, the kids have been, you know, talking about what they want from Santa, and Alex is into Toy Story, and he has a Buzz Lightyear that Jay found for him at the flea market, and it's like, you know, one of the ones from whenever the movie first came out, I think, but it, like, you know, has Infinity and Beyond and all that. And, you know, when you ask him, what does he want? And he keeps going, I want a Woody for Christmas.
Make sure that you write that down somewhere so that you can remember it when he's a teenager to tell that story to all his friends.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And now it's preserved forever on this show. So, yes, a Woody for Christmas.
A Woody for Christmas.
Who doesn't want a Woody for Christmas?
Don't we all?
We all want a Woody for Christmas. He's our favorite deputy. All right. I think all the dick jokes are out of the way at the start of this show. You never know when one will pop up.
<There it is. laughs>
Anyway, what's up? How's the packing going, Amanda?
Oh, as you can see behind me, I'm just like drowning in a sea of boxes.
Oh my goodness, you really are.
Yeah.
That is very impressive. Because don't you remember when we moved and we thought we were doing really well and then the movers ended up throwing a whole bunch of shit in the box for us because they were faster than we could pack it up?
Oh, man.
And yeah, that's us.
I think in COVID times, I don't think they'll do that for you. I think you like have to have everything boxed up and we like confirmed with the movers today and they're not coming until like 1 o'clock and like the other building, I think we have to have everything moved by 5. So I feel like there's little wiggle room. We have to be
okay,
ready to go, but we've already reopened one box, like prematurely packed it.
Okay. Well, you know, that happens.
Yeah. I had a system that we were going to do most of the kitchen stuff last. But I think sometimes, like, Daniel wanted to do some packing the other day and the closet felt too intimidating. So he's like, well, I know how to pack kitchen stuff. And I was like, okay.
So would you say you had a premature epaculation?
I did. I had a premature epaculation.
You know, it happens to the best of us.
It does. It does. It just happens sometimes.
And you tell him it's okay.
Exactly. And like, you can't feel bad about it.
I mean, he was just very eager. He was very overeager. He just wanted to please you.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was just a colander, you know? Gotta have clean vegetables.
Very important. Hey, so weren't you guys moving into this place like around the time that we started the podcast?
They were.
Just about. Yeah, we moved in July of, well, whatever, 4 years ago. July 4 years ago. I can't do math.
2016, another doozy of a year.
Yeah.
2016 sucked in every way, except for this podcast, which, you know.
Yeah, was bright spot.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, it's a little bittersweet.
Cool.
Yeah. This was our first home together, so it is a little bittersweet to say goodbye to it.
Yeah, you've had 200 episodes of the broadcast as your apartment gestational cycle.
Exactly.
Crazy. Well, new beginnings, moving on up to bigger and better.
Exactly. You know, we'll have no more upstairs neighbors.
That's going to be the best.
Yep. That's going to be I think I'm the most excited about that. Forget the dishwasher. Forget the washing machine. I think I'm the most excited about not having noise from above.
That is game changing. That's game changing. And having the washing machine in your apartment is game changing. Think of the time you're going to save.
Just the like flexibility. So like, this was the first building I've ever lived in that's had laundry in the building.
Yeah.
Like, since freshman year of college, this was the first building I've ever lived in that had where I did not have to take my laundry outside to do it.
Oh yeah.
So even that was like a huge step above. Like, this was great, but it was still like our laundry room closes. I think I've said this before, but like, our last wash is at like 8 o'clock at night. So it is limiting, you know, in the real world during normal times when we get home at like 7 o'clock at night.
Right.
You couldn't do laundry on a weeknight. You could only do it on a weekend.
Oh my
God.
Like.
So I just the flexibility of now being able to like throw in a load of laundry at any time of day
or night
is just something that was never available to me before. So it's going to be a whole new world.
Nice. Yeah. I've lived in buildings for the past, basically most of my adult life after college.
Yeah.
That have laundry. Having to take your laundry out to do it, especially like when I didn't have a car, that is just such a fucking drag. Yeah. But I will say, I've always felt like I will become a true adult when I have a machine in my apartment, because it is nice. Like, I agree with you. It's definitely a step up to have it here. And we don't have a time constraint, so we could, you know, except that we share it with everyone else. So depending on who's doing what.
Right.
But I have to leave my place, even if it's not, like, to go very far. Like, it's in the basement.
But it's, you still
in
have
common
to.
Area. Yeah.
Yeah.
You need to, like, actually physically leave the apartment to go and do laundry. And I feel like the day that I don't have to do that will be the day that I am an adult. Mm.
And
congratulations to you.
Do you have to pay for?
Yeah, I have to pay. Yeah.
That's the other thing. It's the
quarters. Who's got your quarters? Oh my God. This summer, the banks were like, hey, heads up. Just so you know, like,
there's a coin shortage.
There's a national coin shortage. So like, I can give you a roll today, but like tomorrow, we're not allowed to give them out anymore.
Damn. What
the fuck? Like, go do laundry.
Yeah, see, we had the card.
Wow.
We had the pay card that you would, like, hang in front of it. It had, like, a reader, and you swipe
That's
it in
convenient.
Front.
That is convenient.
Yeah, it was convenient.
That is clutch, I guess, if you're going to have to pay for it.
Yeah. Well, and apparently we also had, like, an app where you could just rub your phone in front of it, but the laundry room is in like a black hole where the internet doesn't go.
Oh, of course.
So the cool technology was kind of a waste of time because it didn't work. You'd have to open the app before you went into the laundry room and just hope that like the signal kind of came with you. So it never worked for me.
Fair.
I'm sure it was great, but we just kept using the card.
Well, I can't wait for the report. when we do our next show, once you're settled into your new place, like, you know, slowly walk us through how wonderful in the year of the devil 2020, how it felt.
Right. Ask me how many loads of laundry I've done by the time we record.
Yeah. So speaking of, I guess real quick, we should go over the schedule for the rest of this terrible year, in which the broadcast has had a wonderful year. But so this week, obviously, we're got a new episode this week. We are recording next week's episode ahead of time, before this one actually comes out. And that's going to be our holiday movie centric episode, whatever, you guys know what I mean. We've gotten a ton of suggestions from people. Like, you guys answered the call. That's like pretty awesome. Like, I feel like people stopped what they were doing and like told us what to watch. I have stayed up way too late all week watching these movies, and I've had a blast. Like, obviously now I know what I've been missing all these years.
Yep.
Like, seriously. And I know I'm not going to get to all of them in time for Thursday, all the ones I want to. So I'm just going to keep watching them next week while we're off. And talk more about them for the episode that we record on December 22nd, which will be live with everybody. So stay tuned for more information about that, links and whatnot. And that will be our annual Broads holiday episode party thing. So what do we talk about then? We do our New Year's resolutions, right?
Yes.
My favorite.
Okay. We will do that. And then, yeah, so the December 22nd will be our last episode of the year. We will be off the last week of the year, and then we will come back the following week with the bloopers show. So stay tuned for that. Yay.
Hooray.
Hooray. And then we will resume life as normal. So cool. Again, big thank you to everybody who stopped what they were doing and emailed us their holiday movie suggestions. Keep them coming. By the time you hear this, we'll have already recorded it. But like I said, I am like obsessed. And it's not just me that's obsessed. Jay is also obsessed with watching them. I mean, like, we watched all three of those Christmas Prince movies in 2 days. Not even kidding.
So, that's impressive. That's impressive. Yeah,
it was. I'm really grateful that all these holiday movies tend to be, with the exception of Jingle Jangle, which was like 4 hours long. comparatively to all of them. I'm glad that most of them are under 90 minutes, which makes it really great. But we did 12 Dates of Christmas, all the Christmas Prince movies, Jingle Jangle, Happiest Season. I don't know. I'm excited. Let's see what else I can get to.
Yeah, I'm going to have to try and bang out a few more too.
Yeah. Bang some out in the D. So anything else going on?
I was waiting. I was like, what happened?
What day is it? Like, it's December. Not really.
Excellent. Okay. Okay, so I had a couple of fun things that I found for us that shouldn't take too long. One of them is absolutely ridiculous, but I felt like,
oop. That's a big one, Shandy.
Wait, what happened? What did I miss?
Sorry, I forgot. The one thing that did happen was I got my ring.
I'm sorry. Say it again. I was looking at a different tab in my browser. I apologize.
No, I remembered it way late. I received my replacement ring in the mail. And last week I had reported that it was in the mail. This week I'm reporting that I received it. That's pretty much all I have going on. So like, this is like super exciting in the times of COVID, but got in the mail. The woman like wrote a handwritten note. It's exactly the right size. Like, it was so sweet.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's so great.
Yeah.
A Christmas miracle.
A Christmas miracle.
Yay.
Yeah.
That must feel really nice, though, to have it like all taken care of. Yay. Yeah,
That's great.
Awesome. Yay. I had pulled up a couple of quick fun things for us to do. Before Ooh, we fun. So one of them is absolutely ridiculous, and I did it before and was like, should I do this, should I not, it's kind of dumb. And then I was like, oh, what are you kidding, you guys love this shit. So in the spirit of us only having another day to watch holiday movies as we record this, I found a quiz. Which Christmas movie should you watch based on the holiday outfit that you build? So,
oh my God, I love this.
I knew we I'm would. So excited. I knew you would. I knew yep. you would. So, okay.
Ready.
Okay, so this is a ridiculous quiz. It's very visual. I will post the link in the show notes. But here we go. First, pick a festive top. The first one is an ugly holiday sweater. The second one is a fancy outfit. The third one is a turtleneck. And the fourth one is a slutty elf costume.
Wait, you call that a fancy outfit?
Well, it's like a button-down shirt, isn't it?
It almost looks like pajamas.
I don't think that's pajamas. The one on the right? The cranberry-colored sort of one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that looks, it's buttoned down. Looks like it has a collar.
But look how long it is.
Well, let me. Oh, shit. Like I just clicked on it to see if it would make it bigger. And guess what? It doesn't. No, no, I've picked that one. I got to refresh my browser.
I'm going to go with the holiday sweater.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with that, too.
So festive top, I guess I would go with that. The only reason I would think of turtleneck is because I'm me and I'm always freezing.
Oh, I did. The turtleneck was definitely my second choice. And
but does the turtleneck come? Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, just like there are good necklace options with the turtleneck. Mm.
I was All curious right. if the turtleneck is going to come with those spectacles.
Actually, you know something? For the sake of this, I'm going to go with the slutty elf costume. Let's do it. Let's see what that gives me.
You live your momentary truth.
I am right now. All right. The next one is pick some bottoms. And we've got, are those pajama? I think those are supposed to be like elf pants bottoms.
They're like fancy track pants.
Yeah, they're like fancy track pants. Then you've got some tight ass jeans. And then you've got, what are those, Amanda? Fancy pants? They're fancy red pants?
Yeah, they're like high-waisted, wide-legged.
They're like your business pants. Casual, kind of.
Yeah.
Okay, and then you've got pajama bottoms.
Ooh, I mean, it's 2020, so I am very pulled towards the pajama bottoms.
I know,
bottoms.
That's why I've got to go with the fancy track pants.
I'm going to go with the jeans.
I'm going to go with these wide-legged pants. I do love a wide-legged pant.
And they are red, which is very festive for this time.
Yeah, they aren't going to match with that holiday sweater, but you know what? I'm going all in. I'm going
all in. It's 2020. You're not going to leave your house and have anybody see it.
Exactly. It's going to be Zoom, so no one's going to see the pants anyway.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Shouldn't have been an option that's just like, no pants.
Except for you. Yeah, I think the no pants option would be the 2021. Right. All right. Moving on, we've got shoes. We've got your hot little red high heels. What are those, like Nike high tops ish?
Yes.
Boots, like, you know, like super nice boots. Cute. Super Logan cute, nice boots.
Suits, yeah. I'm taking the boots.
And then what are those? Are those like galoshes?
I think they're galoshes.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to go with the Nike ones, I think. The boots are cute, too, but for the sake of this, I'll let you pick second, Amanda, actually.
The boots are really cute, but I am a sucker for a red shoe.
I know, those are hot shoes.
I always have been.
Okay. And they match your pants, but they're a different color.
I want to wear a full red, a monochromatic.
Except they're ensemble. All different shades of red, which
all
makes it.
All different shades of red, all different color families, all different tones and warps within. It's just a celebration of the spectrum of red.
Yeah. Because if I was going to think of a color for 2020, it's black and red.
Yeah.
All right. What about a warm jacket? We've got a red puffy coat. We've got a black, looks like a North Face kind of, you know, other kind of puffy coat.
It's like the one that you like can fold up and shove it into its own little like travel pouch.
Yes. Yeah. Jay has one of those. He got that as a gift when he worked at Google. It's very comfortable looking. Nice. Then we've got your normal like, you know, yellow winter coat kind of thing. And then is that just wearing a coat on your shoulder and like not wearing a coat?
Right. Is it more the style of how it's worn?
I think it's the style of how it's worn.
The bottom two are both parkas. Just one has fur on it and one does not.
Yeah. Amanda, which one are you going with? Which red are you selecting?
I know. I mean, I've kind of locked myself into red here. I think I got to go with the first one now.
Okay. Shandy?
I'm going to go the black North Face.
The black North Face? I'll go with the yellow one then, because Zachary actually has that coat. And I love it.
Cute. I like it.
And then pick something festive to add. A Santa beard, a Santa hat, holiday earrings, or mistletoe.
Okay, I looked at it and I was like, oh, a puppy. I picked the puppy. Didn't even bother to read it.
Oh my God. So did you pick the puppy?
No.
Okay. I will pick the Santa hat because I do love a good Santa hat.
Yeah, same here. I'm going to go Santa hat too.
Yeah, I'm less excited now that I know it doesn't come with the puppy.
That's fair.
I'm going to go with the holiday earrings.
That was my second choice. Yeah. I do love the holiday earrings.
Yeah, I do. Me too.
And then finally, pick an accessory to tie the outfit together. We've got a necklace, a hair clip, a watch, or a purse. I guess a necklace for me. I'm very boring.
Yeah. I feel like I'd go for a necklace, but again, the purse is red. I've locked myself into red here. I'm going to go with the necklace as well, though.
Okay.
Given the outfit, like, I don't think you'll be able to really see my necklace that much on that sweater. So I'll go watch.
All right. What did everybody get?
Oh, I got the Santa Claus.
I got Elf.
Oh, that's a good one.
I got my favorite Christmas movie, Home Alone.
No way!
Man, my going all red really didn't work out so well for me. Oh. I don't like the Santa Claus. I thought it was kind of a crap movie at the time.
Yeah, it's not. It's not the best. We you know what movie we rewatched recently? So we watched Home Alone last week and Home Alone 2. We've rewatched now. God, what is it called? We just watched it. The one with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Isn't that Jingle All the Way?
Jingle All the Way. Yeah, it's pretty funny. I don't remember watching it as a kid, to be honest, but like it is pretty funny with Turbo Man.
I gotta say the funniest part about this quiz is that so it gives me Home Alone, but then the description kills me.
Oh, yeah. Let's hear the description.
You should definitely watch Home Alone. This movie about a kid being left alone during Christmas will make you laugh and truly think about the meaning of Christmas. As if I haven't seen this movie already a million times.
Right. Mine is, you should definitely watch Elf. This Christmas movie about a human who was raised as an elf will certainly keep you entertained.
Oh.
That, oh, here, I'll read mine. The Santa Claus. You should definitely watch The Santa Claus. You probably watched this classic Christmas movie as a kid. Mm-hmm. And it will put you in the right mood for the holidays. Debatable. But what I will say, to go back to Elf, I've been really going off on a tangent with my holiday watching. But I watched the holiday movies that made us. And it's like a behind the scenes of the making of
Elf.
Oh,
yeah.
It was great.
Okay.
I learned so much about Elf. And it really like placed it in time. Like I had forgotten the sequence of when it came out and what the world was like back then. It was an absolute delight.
Okay, I'll check it out. What is it on? Yeah, so Hulu, Netflix?
It's on Netflix. It's like the Movies That Made Us, I think, is already like a Netflix original series where they kind of like each episode they kind
it's
of
the
go.
It's the Toys That like Made Us, I think, is the one that we've seen in this house, the Toys That Made Us.
Probably. That makes
the
sense.
Holiday Movies That Made Us.
Yeah, it's probably all the same franchise, but it appears to only be two episodes. It's Elf and The Nightmare Before Christmas. We didn't watch The Nightmare Before Christmas, but we did watch the Elf one, and I highly recommend it.
Okay.
Nice.
Cool.
Yes.
So speaking of, so this one I'm going to save for next week, I think, but this was 19 wild behind the scenes Christmas movie facts that most people don't know. And it's funny that you have the Santa Claus because one of the facts in here is actually in the Santa Claus 2, Tim Allen had to stay in character when he was around the child actors, even when the cameras weren't rolling, because a lot of the kids believed that he was the real Santa.
Oh my God.
That's I know, really right?
Cute. That's really cute.
I know.
They still think they're stupid movies, but that's really cute. And that's very sweet of him to stay in character for those kids.
And then
it's kind of cute, but like also in a way tragic, because like we all like collectively lie to kids about Santa Claus, and like we can debate whether that's okay or not. It's kind of magical, like whatever. I don't know. I don't even know what side of the debate I'm on. But it feels like that's one thing. But then it's maybe another thing for them to like live this whole experience of like being in a movie and like having to go on and on and on. And then they still have to find out that Santa's not real.
But I met him. This is very confusing.
Yeah.
Which I suppose, how is that different from like, you know, mall Santas?
Yeah.
It's just like more, it's like ramped up. It's like you, like you're, the farce is going on a little bit longer and a little bit stronger.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm with you. It's like the magic of Christmas and I'm all for it. But it is also, we lie to our children and then we pull the wool over their eyes and expose them to the cold, hard truths of life.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's not that big of a deal because most kids aren't that traumatized when they realize there's no Santa. I don't
know. That's fair.
From my perspective, it wasn't like, you know, I thought that magic in life was gone. I just grew up and was like, yeah, that's not a thing. I don't know.
I had older siblings, so it was like,
right.
I think I always knew, but no, but you know what I mean? Just like being part of like a film and then it's like,
that's
a kid actor in Harry Potter and like really thinking that that world is real for like a solid, you know, intense period of time and then having to come out of that. It just seems like a little bit more intense. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. No, I agree. I hear you.
Yeah, probably on some level, but then again, being in a movie in general as a kid is probably traumatizing on a whole lot of levels.
That, yeah, very fair. Which, speaking of traumatizing child actors, Amanda, I was looking at that series that you talked about, just like the general one, The Movies That Made Us.
Mm.
And they, in the general one, they did a thing on Home Alone.
Mm. Right.
Yeah. And also on Dirty Dancing.
I watched the Home Alone one, and that was also very good. Just the way they cut the shows together, it's really a lot of fun.
Nice. I'm very excited for this.
All right.
Also Ghostbusters and Die Hard.
Yeah, it's all like good, it's all great stuff.
I will give you each a fact from your movie because there's a lot of these and it will not take away from next week. For Elf, the baby it's cold inside shower scene wasn't actually in the original script. Director Jon Favreau learned that Zooey Deschanel was a good singer while filming, so he added it in. As we all talked about, we don't need to revisit this case. The song is problematic, but that really is such a cute scene, even though it's also problematic. So lots of torn feelings here.
they talk about that in the holiday movies that made us. They talk about that scene as well. Yeah. It's like, yeah, their take on it was a little different that like, yeah, they wanted to hire an actress for that role that could sing because they wanted to do something musical.
Okay. Oh, and it just so happened. Okay.
And it just so happened. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
And then for Home Alone, this one is kind of fucked up, actually. I read this one earlier when I was going through this website. The prop department originally created a fake tarantula to put on Daniel Stern's face, but the director insisted on using a real one, and its name was Barry. There's a rumor that Daniel Stern had to like mime his scream during the scene, but he himself said on Facebook that that's not true. The animal trainer on set told him he'd be fine during the scene as long as he didn't make any sudden movements, and he responded, "But if I'm going to be screaming in Barry's face, don't you think he'll feel threatened by that?" And the animal trainer simply said, "Barry doesn't have ears. He can't hear. Relax." So,
Fun fact about tarantulas that I didn't know.
Right? Now, I'm guessing that they do have ears.
Or some, yeah. Either way, no thanks.
You can definitely tell watching it that it's a real tarantula. Mm-hmm. That, yeah. I can see why they want it to go real.
Yeah.
I hope no harm came to the tarantula in the filming of that movie.
Mm-hmm.
That is true.
And then this fact actually, another fact about Home Alone, and Jay had told me this when we watched it last weekend, actually, was the picture of Buzz's girlfriend where he says, "Buzz, your girlfriend, woof," is actually a picture of the art director's son wearing a wig. And they purposely did that because they didn't think that it would be nice to put a girl, like, take a picture of a real girl and then, like, make fun of her for being, like, you know, ugly. Yeah. So the art director, he had a son that was like, "I'll do it." And, you know, that's how that came about. So it was to not have to, you know, be mean to a real life woman or little girl.
I like it.
Yeah. All right, so we will definitely save the rest of these for next week because they are really fun. I read through most of them today because I was like, this is an interesting article. but moving on real quick before we get into some feedback is I feel like some of us could use this reminder, especially in 2020, and it's 10 holiday shopping tips that'll make you feel slightly less stressed. The first one is to make sure you respect your own resources and limitations. So, like, understand what, like, you know, what your boundaries are and your limits are. Like, stick to your budget, shop around for the best prices if you need to. If you are on a budget and you can want to use cash, like, to, you know, properly budget, do something like that. But, you know, make sure you you set that up for yourself and, you know, you don't feel pressure for anything. The next one is to create shopping days and designated shopping days and rest days to allow yourself, like, you know, time to not have to think about it all, because it can get stressful when you have a big family. Make sure that you keep your, you know, mental and emotional, like, energy and health up. Get started as early as possible so that way, you know, you're not waiting until the last minute. Another one is to avoid any last minute impulse purchases. You may, you know, you might get the first nice gift that you see, but then a day later find something even better, rather than, you know, impulse purchase that second one. If you're not in a situation to, like, return the first one or whatever, you know, save that idea for maybe a birthday or next year's holiday. Mm-hmm. Create a list of everyone you need to shop for so you don't feel like, you know, you're running around like a chicken without a head. I added that in, but
yeah, that's a good one. I subscribe to that one.
Mm-hmm. So that's what we do too, is like write down everything and then any gift ideas that jump out at you, which, because then you just kind of check it off or go down the list.
I do that as a list, as a reminder in my phone. Like, I list them all out and I just.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It does make it easier.
It really does.
Like, especially if, you know, you've got a decent amount of gifts that you have to get. Don't be afraid to establish a price limit with your partners, friends, or family members that you're exchanging gifts with, which is always an awkward conversation to have. But that's why I think I like when we do the Secret Santas, is because it actually, like, you can put, like, you know, between this and this amount of money, which is always nice.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be afraid to find creative ways to keep your costs down, taking advantage of, like, cashback apps or buying something that's on sale. Organize a Secret Santa with your family or group friends. And then, let's see. If you're really stumped for what to buy someone, get them a gift that you know that they'll use often, which, you know, I've thought about that recently. Like, I've gotten, like, Christmas socks as a gift, like, every year, and I wear those all the time.
Socks are a great gift.
Socks are a great gift. And when I put them on yesterday morning, I was thinking, like, man, like, you know, for something that's so simple, like, I bet this person doesn't realize how much use I have gotten out of these holiday socks. and then finally, remember, you can always just ask your loved one what they want or need for Christmas. You don't have to, like, you know, make yourself crazy thinking of what the perfect gift is for them, when you could just always ask them and get them something that they want.
And gift certificates from local small businesses and restaurants. A little 2020 COVID amendment, if I might.
Yes. Love that one. Love that one. Try to shop local as much as you possibly can.
Black-owned businesses, bonus points if you can.
Yeah. Love it. Anything else before we move on? Cool. All right. Well, then we'll see you guys on the other side of the commercial break. All right. We are back and ready for some facey back. But first, Amanda, you have a story.
Oh, right.
Do you want to tell your story at the end or you want to tell it now? Go for it.
I feel like it's a boring story now in hindsight. But we'll tell it anyway. Maybe it'll end up in the bloopers. Who knows? Okay. Let's see. It could be a bonus episode. We'll find out.
Let's go for it.
Let's go for it. So, and another tale of moving and packing saga, Daniel borrowed a paper shredder from our neighbors across the hall because he had some old pay stubs and various things he wanted to shred. And he's like, do you need to use it? And I was like, no, I don't have anything I need to shred. Why would I have anything I need to shred? Long story short, I totally did. Apparently you don't need to hold on to your tax returns from when you were in college.
Yeah, I think it's 7 years.
Yeah, it turns out you don't have to hold on to medical forms from 8 years ago. Turns out you don't need bank statements from 2002.
Yeah, no.
So I used to have two paper filing buckets of things that I thought were important documents. I shredded so much paper.
Nice.
I consolidated down to one bucket. I got rid of an entire bucket of paper.
That's awesome.
2 hours. And I had to keep stomping because the thing would overheat.
Fair.
I filled up we have 4 or 5 boxes now of just shredded paper that we've been using as packing cushions. So it's getting recycled. It's getting
used. That's great. That's clever.
Yeah. But I probably filled up 3 of them by myself. Like I had to keep coming out of the bedroom. I need another box without a lid. I have more paper.
That smells so good though.
Yeah.
So
and mildly embarrassing. Because I made such a thing out of being like, no, I don't have anything to, I don't have anything to shred. Like, why? Yeah, no, I had so much. And I was like, do you think I still need my tax returns from 2006? And he's like, no. But not only was it the tax returns, but it was also the how-to documents of how to file your tax.
Oh, yeah. The ones that you can get every single year.
My dad gave me my old tax returns, I think, when I moved out after college. And I just never thought to look at them. I just took them and threw them in this bucket. And just
Well, I've told you guys that after my grandfather died and my grandma was going through the filing cabinets and stuff in the basement, he had stuff from their first house when they lived next door to my great grandma. He had stuff from the old house from they were first married. So it was 58-year-old stuff. And she was, and my grandma is notoriously throws everything out when she's, or donates it when she's done with it. She doesn't keep anything. And she was just this picture, angry old grieving Italian woman who was and why is he getting all this stuff for? Your grandfather never threw anything out. And I was well, neither do I.
Nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. I keep, so I actually have that big filing cabinet that used to be behind me that I've painted and everything. I have so much stuff to go through and file, it's ridiculous, and I know I'm gonna end up throwing a lot of it out, but I know the things that I do keep are records of car repair stuff, because never know, somebody could be because I usually get it done through the dealership, so 10 years from now they could be like, well, you never got this, and I could be like, yes I did. I don't know if that's even a thing, but but I do know the tax stuff and medical stuff and certain things I'll probably keep for like the memories, like, you know, Jay's positive flu test on the day before Alex was born, because that's always going to be funny to look back on. But like, but I don't need like Zachary's 15th ear infection when he was like 11 months old. And so yeah, I got to go through that stuff too. And maybe I just need to invest in a shredder. I feel like, you know, investing in a shredder like might help you and me both, Amanda. We're like, you know, when we're done with something, we just are like, no, we're done with it and shred it.
Maybe. But see, I'm sentimental. Like I was like a lot of things that like even I knew like, okay, I don't need this. But then it's like I was going through a lot of like I saw all my college stuff. I had all my applications for scholarships and stuff. And then looking through that and like reading through what I had written for the application,
and that stuff is okay
to like,
keep.
Oh, this is really sweet. I'm going to keep this. Like so much of what I wanted for my life, I like made come true. And like,
yeah,
I'm gonna
and
keep this for when I'm feeling sad.
Exactly.
No, that's amazing. And yeah, I agree. That kind of stuff is different. I was going through stuff the other day and I came across my college application to the college that I went to. And I came across like my essay was even in there. Oh. And I was honestly like pleasantly surprised by what I wrote. It's like, holy shit, 18-year-old me, like, good job. So yeah, that's fun. But I feel like that's more sentimental, for example, than like an empty book of check copies.
Yeah, also didn't realize that was a thing that you could shred. You don't have to keep those.
Nope.
You don't have to keep those.
Nope.
Yeah.
I totally had them in a fancy box.
I keep them all, and I'm not going to not keep them, because there's been times where I've gone back to be like, aha, I did pay you back for this. Or
18 years ago.
But those are things like for myself that I want the validation for.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I still kept that. Yeah, I kept all my like the entry books for my checking account. And it was also like an interesting journey back in time of how we used to interact with checks and checking accounts.
Yeah.
And how it really is now a very archaic thing. Like I would even write in those books like, oh, I took 20 bucks out of the ATM. Like
I did the same thing.
You balanced your checkbook?
I did.
I did too. I did too.
Once maybe, three times tops.
I loved balancing my checkbook.
I hated it.
I loved it.
I just don't think I ever knew how to do it.
Yeah. Well, my dad taught me.
Yeah.
How one of the many things that ended in a screaming match. That's also why I don't know how to drive stick, because that ended in a screaming match as well.
You know,
I practically walked home from the high school parking lot because I couldn't be in the same car.
I also learned to drive stick in my high school parking lot.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, but it was my friend who taught me and not a parent. So maybe that helped.
Why are we not making...
One of us learned and one of us didn't.
You know what? I want a stick for Christmas. No, I'm just kidding.
Bring it back around.
I couldn't quite make it happen.
Yep. Dust it. Dust it off. See if it fits.
Yeah. I want to drive a stick for Christmas. I want to drive a stick in a parking lot for Christmas. Right after I get that Woody. I still don't quite know how to, but I got lessons in driving a stick shift in a church parking lot that was down the street from my parents' house.
Yes.
Yeah. Good times. Good times. Anyway. All right. I liked that story, Amanda, and I'm very happy that you told it.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing.
It's like, you know, when you're in the moment of something, you're like, oh gosh, this is going to make a great story. And then in hindsight, you're like, you shredded a bunch of paper. Like, why did you think that was interesting?
Yeah, that's why I like to have control of editing, because generally I edit most of what I say out. I understand you.
We can all relate.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now I think I kind of want to ask for a paper shredder for Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're probably not that expensive.
No, they're not. They're not. You can get them like anywhere. You can get them at like Walmart.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Because the thing is, Amanda, like I know that you don't need to keep certain things and like, you know, like seven years, something's 1 year, something like not even at all. And yet I still have all that shit too. So
it's like, you just throw it in a file folder and just out of sight, out of mind.
Or like, I'll put it aside because I'm like, I don't need this anymore, but I don't want to just put it in the recycling because I need to shred it. So I'll put it here while I'm waiting to get to a shredder.
This mythical time when you're going to come across a shredder. Yeah, basically.
So yeah.
Long story short, I rely on Daniel to survive, apparently. I would just be in a little old woman that lived in a sea of paper.
Yeah, you'd be drowning in paper right now.
I'd be drowning in paper without him.
All right. Facey back, everybody. The first thing is from Erin, and she says, stolen joke, but breaking news. Rudy Giuliani has tested positive for COVID-19 and is being flown to Walter Reed Pool Supplies.
Solid. Solid joke.
He is on remdesivir. So that is another person that, you know, brought COVID upon himself and doesn't get the same treatment that, you know, the rest of us do.
Yeah. Cue eye roll.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I was going to cue like barfy face.
Yeah, that too.
Was it you guys that I was talking to where I was like, that motherfucker better be on death's door to steal a hospital bed from somebody who needs it?
Yes, this is something you said to us.
Yes, I was upset because now, since last week, my family has known two people that have died from it. One was my dad's cousin. And the other one was my grandma's friend who was like, you know, close with them while they were growing up. So like my parents knew them very well, too. And the other my dad's cousins. So my dad's cousin is in the hospital. Like her husband's the one that passed away. And she is in the hospital fighting for her life, according to her kids. And they were in separate hospitals. So she has no idea what's going that he's passed, and they had to ask the nurses to take her iPad away from her because they were afraid that she would get some kind of iMessage notification that she would see it when she was conscious. Yeah. So, in short, fuck Rudy Giuliani and everybody else that gallivants around not wearing masks because they know that they'll get access to the best treatment and care. Mm-hmm. But seriously, solid joke. Walter Reed Pool Supplies. Love it. and then Aaron also continues, the new Kristen Stewart Christmas movie on Hulu, Happiest Season, was the best. Yes. And we will talk about that next for next week's episode. And then a little bit of Matt splaining. Catherine Oxenberg is prominent in both The Vow and Seduced. And she was in Dynasty and is related to Dynasty. That's the one. And is related to a few royal families in Europe. Anya Taylor-Joy takes center stage in Queen's Gambit from episode 2 onward, but the child version of her character recurs throughout. Okay, so cool. And then thank you, Matt. And then Matt continues with a little more current reading. I assume he's added this to his broadcast book club list. And he says, I checked out the audiobook for In the Dream House by Carmen Maria Machado. It is heavy materials. Machado recounts an abusive relationship she had with an ex-girlfriend. Not an easy read, but she conveys the roller coaster of abuse with great power. And Shandy will be happy to know that I've started The Body Keeps Score. Intriguing so far. I've also started on We Ride Upon Styx by Quan Berry, since I could use a break from heavy subjects, and a high school girls hockey team discovering witchcraft in the 1980s fits that bill. It even mentions my alma mater. That's definitely a Matt recommendation right there.
I love it.
That sounds great. I'm on board for that.
Oh, We Ride Upon Styx. Get it? Yeah. Hockey Styx. Yeah. I got there. Mm-hmm. I was, you know, my mind was still at the beginning of our episode. Cool. thank you for the book recommendations, Matt. We appreciate it. I'm forever intrigued now by the Witchcraft Girls hockey team in the 80s. Knowing it's from the 80s makes it probably the best part.
Yes, I might have to look into that.
I know, me too.
I'm super into it. I can't wait till they make it into a Netflix original movie.
Oh my God. That is a great idea.
Speaking of Netflix, which movies, shows, I noticed that the Sabrina trailer is out. I haven't seen it yet.
Oh,
I did not know that.
I just, when I was checking Netflix because of the stuff that you were recommending, Amanda, I noticed it.
Ooh.
Got real excited.
Okay, well, that's exciting. What did it come out on Christmas?
No, the 31st.
The 31st. Okay, cool. Oh, I'm first. Excited. Even though I do think it was somewhat of a dumpster fire the last half of the season, but. I'm here for it.
I'm
I love
still here for
Sabrina.
It.
I know. Yeah. So We Ride Upon Styx actually came out in March 2020. So
It's new.
Yeah. Speaking, well, kind of new.
Yeah. Yeah, we're still in March.
Yeah, right. Exactly. It just came out last week. They could still option it. Oh my God, they could put it on Quibi. That's a thing that's coming out soon, right?
Womp womp.
Womp womp. And then getting into some That's What She Said.
We can do this tomorrow.
We spent 4 days eating it.
He's less into it than I am.
You've seen it enough times that you can have fun with it.
I need to water it, by the way.
It's nice to have it on a tree. Oh, relations. Let me try that again. It's nice to have it on a tree.
I assumed it was in that direction.
Your eyes keep going there.
Sorry, keep going.
However you want to get it to us.
Sending it through Facebook is fine.
Said no one ever.
And they own it. Don't do that.
Hey, speaking of Rudy, you guys know that crazy witness that he had, the one that they like mocked on SNL? You saw, so she was clearly intoxicated or something on the stand. Did you know that she had been arrested for sending sex tape to her boyfriend's ex-wife?
Oh my God.
Yeah, so she was arrested for harassment because, you know, clearly that's not okay.
Yeah, that's not a thing you do.
Yeah, so she's, you know, cuckoo bananas. However, sending it through Facebook kind of reminded me of that because, you know, that's...
Something that's also cuckoo bananas.
Yeah, that. See, I got back. I got back there. Who is next? Me?
I think so.
It's been 3 years, okay?
I did this one, and it checks out.
And then putting them both on top of each other on the conference room table.
That's pretty funny. The funny thing is we have all these devices and now we used to have all these devices and now we have a singular device that does all these things.
Oh, Amanda, you have such a way with words.
You sure do.
You put the gravy everywhere.
Yeah, you do. I love stuffing.
Classic. Solid and classic.
That's what she said. It like pops out. Like the Woody.
Like the Woody.
I kind of fell out, but she kept going.
Oh, God.
Yeah, not great. Not great. One of these days, I'm going to be on it.
Thank you, Matt. Those are pretty funny. moving into Butter Shemales, the first one is from Matt.
All right. Oh, it's all about bad sex and fiction. This is going to be good.
Oh, man. I know what this is about because I was going to talk about this, too.
All right. So let's dive in here.
Let's do it.
Hey, broads. Long-time listeners know this time of year is usually when I send you the excerpts from the annual Bad Sex in Fiction nominees. Unfortunately, 2020 struck again and Literary Review canceled its annual award because we've seen enough bad things this year.
Lame.
And didn't need any cheering up, apparently.
Yeah, seriously.
So, as a contingency... I went through the archives and found some examples you can read this year instead. I don't remember if we did this back in 2016, but I found 2015 nominees with winner by singer/songwriter/crank. That's a joke that sneaks up on you.
I know. Oh, arguably nowadays I would put him as Crank first.
No, seriously. I don't remember if we did this back in 2016, but I found 2015 nominees with winner by singer / songwriter / crank Morrissey.
Still funny the second time.
Also that I had to remember how to pronounce Morrissey. You've seen this word before. You know how it's supposed to be said. You can do this.
We did not do this in 2015. I think we did in 16. So this is exciting. We will have Bad Sex and Fiction this year. I think we should save it for our last episode, though, of the year, because these are always one of my favorite things that we do every year. And I feel like we need to end this year on a fun note like that.
I love it.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, that's fair.
Okay. We will save it. Matt keeps on giving. The email continues, and here's a list of some of the best worst of over the years. So maybe we'll hold on to that.
Is the 23 best / worst winners of the Bad Sex in Fiction Awards.
Oh, yeah. And there's also Morrissey right there in the hyperlink. So, you know that's going to be good. All right. Let's land this plane here.
Okay.
Like just about every tradition, the broadcast's annual reading is going to be a little different. Matt.
We could definitely.
Looking forward to it.
Me too. And I don't mind. Oh, yes. Wait, click on his second link, guys, and go to number 3. And then tell me that doesn't bring you back to my amazing reading of it back in 2018.
Number 3.
Okay. Well, it's loading.
Okay.
Wow, that picture is fierce.
You remember, Shandy?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I love this one. I'm so glad to be reminded of it. For anybody out there that doesn't remember, the one we were referring to is from Katarina by James Frey. It was one of the 2018 ones. And it's, I'm hard and deep in fucking her on the bathroom sink, her tight little black dress still on, her thong on my floor, my pants at my knees, our eyes locked, our hearts and soul. Wait, hold on. Our eyes locked, comma, first bit of punctuation of that entire 3 lines. Our hearts and souls, our hearts and souls and bodies locked inside. Come inside me. Here we go, guys. This was, try not to get turned on, okay? Drink some cold water. Come inside me. Come inside me. Blindly, breathless, shaking, overwhelming, exploding, white. God, I come inside her. My cock's throbbing. We're both moaning. Our hearts, souls, bodies, one, white. God, come, come, come. This is definitely different than how I read it back then, by the way.
True.
You know, you're returning to a character. You know, you're bringing your 2020 perspective to it.
Exactly. Exactly. Come, come, come. I close my eyes, let out my breath. Come. I lean against her both. I wish there was punctuation. That's all I could ask for with this. It's perfect. It would be perfect with some commas and periods. Perfect. I lean against her, both breathing hard. I'm still inside her, smiling. She takes my hands, lifts them, and places them around her body, comma. She puts her arms around me, comma. We stay still and breathe, comma. Hard inside her, comma. Tight and warm and wet around me, with comma. We breathe. She gently pushes me away, comma. We look into each other's eyes, comma. She smiles, period.
Whew.
I know, Shandy, I know. I just made you hot and bothered. I saw, you just put your sleeves up a little bit. You know, like, all the blood's rushing. So anyway, tune in 2 weeks from now, our live show. We'll read some of the best sex and worst sex in fiction. You too can get a Woody for Christmas or Hanukkah or wherever you celebrate. It's going to be fantastic.
Jason D, man. Jason D.
Yeah. I am kind of curious as I go through, like, how many of these from 2016 on I will remember. I feel like a lot of them, but
probably.
Anyway, Matt, thank you so much. We actually have, before we get to Andy's update, I got an email sent to me from Anonymous, and it's a voicemail. So let me pull that up real quick.
Anonymous
voicemail. Yes. All right, here we go. A voicemail from Anonymous.
Hi, Shandy, Amanda, and Colleen. This is Nicholas from the North Pole. I understand you're planning a discussion about Christmas movies. They sure are churning them out at a sprightly rate these days, aren't they? My favorite Christmas movie is the original 1947 Miracle on 34th Street with Maureen O'Hara and John Payne. And of course, Edmund Gwynn was just marvelous as Kris Kringle. Oh, and many people don't realize the little girl, Susan Walker, was played by Natalie Wood. Believe it or not, Miracle on 34th Street was the first of three movies released in 1947 with Natalie Wood as one of the lead characters. The 1994 remake with Sir Richard Attenborough as Kris is also very good, but I prefer how the plot was resolved in the original version. Here at the North Pole, when the stress level rises higher than a reindeer's antlers, we take one evening and gather all the elves in the auditorium and we watch Miracle on 34th Street. It reminds everyone just how important Christmas is to girls and boys all across the globe. Each elf leaves with a renewed sense of self-worth. Ho, ho, ho. Try to say self-worth three times fast. Ho, ho, ho. Anyway, I have to get back to work. I hope you and your listeners all have a Merry Christmas, and any snacks left out for me are greatly appreciated. Peace and love.
Thank you, Nick from the North Pole.
Nick,
I feel like we just went to the next level.
I know.
Being contacted directly by Jolly Old St. Nicholas. I am so sorry that I said you were fake earlier.
You're pretty honored. And I concur that the original Miracle on 34th Street is a great movie.
It's a good movie. And I did know that that was Natalie Wood, actually.
Same. Any theater kid worth their salt knows who that is.
Googling Natalie Wood. I've actually never seen either of them. Whoops.
I've never seen the remake.
I don't think I've seen the remake either.
I don't really have a need to.
No, me neither. Agreed. Totally agree. So, all right. Well, thank you. We appreciate that. And... we hope to see you at our live show, Mr. Nick from the North Pole.
Mr. Claus.
Mr. Claus.
Well, we don't want to be presumptuous.
Yeah, we don't want to be presumptuous. It could be Nick the Elf.
How many people live in the North Pole?
Yeah. Could be the elf or the housekeeper or, I don't know, the stable boy.
No. Nick's a pretty common name.
Mm-hmm.
It is. Yeah, it's true. Good
Nick
point.
Kringle.
They must have stable boys.
They have to have stable boys.
Or who takes care of the reindeer?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. We appreciate it. And now we'll finish up with an update from Andy.
All right. Andy writes in, this holiday season in Andy's virginity. Hey, Rods. Another quiet week as expected. Not even a good quote about loneliness to tie everything together. I believe in the past, around this time of year, I've reflected about how this time of year lends to some introspection, especially in that time between Christmas and New Year's when things go quiet on a lot of fronts as people spend more time with their families. Only this year, I've felt that way ever since lockdown started happening. We've been stuck in that week between Christmas and New Year's for 9 months, and clearly some people cannot handle it. It sucks knowing that there are a few things we can do, and doing them while people you went to high school with have large holiday gatherings, as if there isn't something killing thousands of people every day. One person I went to high school with had a large, seemingly mask-free wedding this fall, and as much as I wanted to say, are you out of your fucking mind? Having that response from someone you were an acquaintance to 20 years ago is probably going to be ignored. Sorry you can't have your dream wedding while a pandemic is going on. So yeah, added stress for caring for people who don't give a shit is a real thing. Sorry for the rant. That's just one of those things in my social media feed that's been bugging me for a while. I'm so frustrated with selfish, impatient people who can't bear to be alone with their own thoughts. you can't have your big holiday get together. I still don't know the touch of a woman. We all don't get what we want all the time. Sometimes you suck it up for the greater good and make the best of it. Anyway, to end on a positive note, I don't think I have COVID after that scare. Still taking precautions and staying home most of the time. I also hope you're feeling a little less stressed out, Colleen, and you've forgiven yourself for the Alex thing. It sounded like at least my thoughts made you feel less alone. And as far as Alex is concerned, I agree with Amanda that probably every parent, even the best ones, have moments like that, and all you can do is just move forward and not be too hard on yourself. Hashtag I'm 6 feet from hers, Andy.
Thank you, Andy. Yeah. I appreciate that. Even if Alex did run down the driveway, fall, smash his head, have a giant goose egg this past weekend, bleeding everywhere.
He's the daredevil.
It was like the fifth time he fell. I kept telling him to stop. He cut his hand the first time. And then, I don't know, maybe he was like, don't want to hurt my hands the next time, and didn't put them out. Forehead first.
I mean, that is one way.
You saw the picture.
Thinking through that. Yeah.
That picture was after 10 minutes of ice and blend, you know, holding up it to stop the bleeding.
Man.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good times. That picture I posted on my Instagram feed today with the collage of things, I had to edit out his giant ass cut on his forehead from it.
Oh.
Yeah. At least a goose egg right away, so we knew that it was, you know, fine. Mm. But yeah, good times. Anyway, sorry. I'm glad that you don't have COVID, though. That's good.
Yeah. That's something to be thankful for, definitely.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Indeed. Hear, hear. Yeah. But you might not be able to have, we may not be able to have our big holiday get-togethers this year, but we can still have our big holiday broad get-together.
Yes.
That's how you brought that back around. Mm.
Thank you. Thank you. I've done a good job with that tonight. But thank you for your email, Andy. Yes. So reminder again, we will be live for our last show of the year on Sunday, December 20th. And then we will not be recording for 2 weeks, but the blooper show will be out the first week in January. So prepare for that. Patrons at the patron bonus level, be on the lookout for some more stuff from us. We still have a couple of bonus things to catch up on. So we're going to try to get those out as well. And yeah. Stay tuned for the holiday movies episode next week. I'm looking forward to talking about that. And I'm looking forward to some more bad sex and fiction, guys.
Yeah.
Man, we have a lot to look forward to in the coming weeks.
We mm-hmm. really do.
Yeah, we do.
2020 is not all bad.
No.
When it comes to the internet, sure.
Yeah. We're making the best of it.
Yeah,
it could be significantly worse. I mean, like I was saying this earlier, we were talking with some friends about 2020 and just like, oh my God. And I was like, you know, the thing is though, like, can you imagine what life would be like right now if the election hadn't gone the way that it went?
Mm-hmm.
Like, can you imagine just like adding a layer of just complete and utter hopelessness to the situation we feel like right now? So like,
yes,
it could be worse.
Yes,
very important perspective.
You're right. It could be worse. So bring that perspective and those resolutions on the 20th,
and we're making this thing.
We're gonna do this thing. It'll be Amanda's first broadcast in her new apartment.
Oh my God!
That's true. So, have to make sure. Decorate a little bit so it'll look.
Hey, Amanda, did you get the package that I sent you?
Yes.
Okay.
You mean this? You mean this one?
Okay. Did you get the other thing that was there in it?
Yes, I did.
Okay, good.
Thank you. That's really sweet that you still have it.
I know. Well, Jay was like, why don't you just send it to her? You've had it for 10 years, 12 years. And I was like, so Amanda and I, when we lived together, we made our own stockings for Christmas. And aww. I've had hers since I moved out in 2009. So, 2009. Yeah,
it's been. I was eight, thinking eight, about this because I am moving. All the different places that you've taken that stocking with you, and always deemed it important enough to move to the next place.
Of course, I've had it since 2008 because we made those Christmas 2007. So
yeah. I'm really honored.
Yeah, aww. Of course. Of course. So anyway, when I figured, I was like, well, if she packs everything up, at least she'll have that.
That's true. Well, and we have all the Christmas
Daniel's
stuff
on his own
packed in like its own, in their own like Tupperwares.
Okay.
So it's easy enough. I know where they are because they live in the same place all the time.
Nice.
So
awesome.
Throw it in there.
Very good. All right, everybody. We'll see you live in 2 weeks. We'll see you next week for the holiday movie stuff. And yeah, I think that's it. Thank you to the patrons. If you'd like to become a patron, we've got that year membership thing that I think is set up.
Here's hoping.
You can go to patreon.com/JayandJack or go to jayandjack.com and click on the Become a Patron link on the top right-hand corner of the page. We love your feedback. So if you have any feedback for us, please send away. We would love to hear from you. Thebroadcasters3@gmail.com or 331-276-2373. I don't know, guys. December's moving on. 2020 is almost over. Can't wait. I don't know what the J is, but let's the last call. Closing time.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Almost. It'll be closing time, last call for our live show, I'm sure. But all right, I have no jokes, so I'm just gonna go. I got two weeks to think of them. But anyway, does anybody else have anything?
I do not.
All right. Nope. Well, on that note, thank you to the patrons that contribute at a certain level. And that would be Eckhart Rigner, Tack from Tokyo, Maggie the Magnificent, Joanne with a Plan, Greg the Gray, and Ed the Creepy Granddaddy Mailman. Thank you guys so much. I only say granddaddy because it makes Shani laugh like that every time. I don't even know if Ed likes it, but... We're doing it.
We do.
I guess if you want to withdraw consent, you can, and I'll stop if you don't like it. But anyway, on that note, everybody, does anybody have anything? No. All right. Well, on that note, my name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
Peace out, everybody.
Goodbye.
Bye.